Welcome again. Time for SLMA Radio. This week's featured show is Data Dump Radio, a show where you can hear top B2B data vendors and buyers discuss the reality of today's data landscape. The show is brought to you by one of the leaders in the field, Lead Genius. And we have with us today that genius himself, Mark Godley. Hey, Mark.
Thank you for that introduction, Paul. Paul is the announcer today for the Data Dump Show, and I am incredibly excited to be joined by a good friend and a respected peer that I have known for a number of years, Santosh Sharan. Welcome to the Data Dump Show.
Thank you, Mark. Very excited to be here and look forward to the conversation.
Santosh, you and I got to know, and by the way, Santosh, current CEO of EverString, we'll get to that probably a little bit later in the program, but I want to go back to when you and I first met. You and I first met when you were a senior executive at ZoomInfo, and I was a large consumer of ZoomInfo, but I don't think I ever got your origin story. Why the heck did you join Zoom? What was your charter there?
That's actually a really interesting story. So if you'll allow, this takes me back to summer of 2012, right? So I had just sold a mobile company. Mobile was still in its infancy. And I was thinking of doing something in the mobile space, right? But I happened to read, I think it was an analyst report or the prospectus of the LinkedIn IPO. LinkedIn had just recently gone IPO, I think, that year or the year before. And there was a paragraph that I read in that report that kind of hit me like a bolt of lightning, right? So this was my first introduction to the data space. And what it said, which was pretty profound for me at that time, is that a typical data business like LinkedIn was largely automated, and they had zero marginal cost of inventory, right? So marginal cost of inventory, as you know, is the cost of building a single unit of product, right? So in data businesses, if you get the your fixed cost covers, then you can keep selling that inventory and keep coming up with new products with almost very little to zero
high margin
unit cost, right? I tend to be intellectually curious, so I wanted to experiment largely to just learn and prove myself. It just seemed like some of the best businesses of future were going to be data businesses. Around, I was in Boston at that time, and I went online and I kept searching and ZoomInfo for some reason. They must have good SEO at that time. They kept showing up in the first page, so I went on LinkedIn and sent an email to Jonathan, who was the CEO of ZoomInfo. One thing led to another, and I joined them initially as VP of products at Zoom.
I guess I must have met you relatively early if I go back to when I got introduced. And if you look back on that, obviously Zoom has been sold at this point to a private equity firm. If you look back on your, was it 4 years, 5 years,
yeah.
How many years were you there?
More like 4 years.
Okay. What do you see as your major accomplishments?
Yeah, so I'm very proud of some of the work we did at Zoom. Again, I was just learning along the way. You know, a lot of companies that grow, when you look back, you feel like the growth came out of almost a serendipity or almost you can't put your finger into a few things. But the ZoomInfo growth was very intentional, right? It was almost like we put a plan into motion and we executed and we could see the growth shape up, month by month, bit by bit. In terms of my contribution, so I worked very well with Jonathan, which was a plus. Before I joined, ZoomInfo was a typical data company, right? By what I mean by a typical data company is you sell, you have lots of salespeople to sell. Your revenues are dependent on how many calls these salespeople make, and you deliver data by Excel files, and it's a typical data company is not automated like LinkedIn is, right? So, it's down the line, we basically put the entire company into automation, right? All the way from lead volume, right? When lead flow coming in through SEOs and other programs, all the way they convert it, right, into a self-service platform. So one of the biggest contribution was we built self-service platform, which Zoom is still using today, which drives bulk of the revenue. And then all the way to fulfillment, how data is consumed, delivery, how data is collected was also fully automated, right? And then all the way back into customer advocacy and so on. So, you know, when you're thinking about taking advantage of zero marginal cost, you got to have, you know, lots and lots of automation into place.
Automation, right? Yeah.
I think that's really what made, obviously, you know, the history of ZoomInfo from there onwards. Not only did they grow, if you look carefully, they didn't hire as much people, right? So they didn't grow proportionately.
Efficiencies. Yeah.
Which is, again, a testimony to the automation we put in place.
That's a great story. And after that, you then went to Aberdeen, which had recently acquired Hart Hanks Market Intelligence data business, and you did a little bit of work with them. Where do you see that business going? A very interesting mix of content and data.
Yeah, no, that was a very interesting experience as well. So at Zoom, I learned a lot about the data business. At Aberdeen, what I learned about the limitations of data. data can only get you to the right person, right? From there onwards, you need the right content and messaging to convert them.
Interesting.
Right. So at Aberdeen, I focused because they, you know, half their business was the analyst business that runs out of Boston, and there I focused a lot on, you know, how to combine data and content. I would say we built one of the best products in this category that combines the two, right? I think they're calling it Marketplace or Lead Essential or one of those. They are playing in a really unique space where they can automate some of these insights and content and messaging by combining it with data. You know, data can tell you who to target, and some of these other expertise that they have built tells you what to say.
Along those lines, I think it was just announced yesterday that they acquired a company that I've been affiliated with for a couple of years called The Big Willow. Did that come as a surprise to you? Do you see that very much in line with the strategy you helped them execute around combining content, what to say to what person?
Yeah. I think that sort of aligned with the direction they're pursuing. They have an interesting sort of challenge of combining data with content, right? And insights is really where the two comes together, right? Business insights.
Okay.
Intent helps them provide that insight in an automated way.
It bridges.
Right?
It bridges it. Yeah.
It does. Big Willow acquisition was probably a strategically sort of a step in the right direction. This will help them sort of automate. The key is automating a lot of this, right? And scaling up. Because the analyst business is also undergoing some transition.
Serious decisions just getting bought, right?
Right, with the serious decision acquisition. That actually increases the value for Aberdeen. So these are interesting times.
Good. For
both Aberdeen and Zoom.
Speaking of interesting times, I call myself like the accidental data guy. Like, I never intended to get into the data space. And I think I've probably been in it now for 10-ish years. And I think about your background, having founded, run a machine learning, multilingual text analytics company, and you've done a whole bunch of other innovative entrepreneurial stuff. Why are you sticking in the B2B data space? It seems like it's such a somewhat stodgy, uninteresting place compared to all these other fascinating adjacent, you know, verticals. Why have you spent since 2012, so going on 6 years now in the data space, and you've just taken on a really big role, the biggest one yet in the data space with Everstring? What are you doing?
No, this is a very interesting question. I've thought about it long and hard, as you can imagine, right? So the past of data, and by the way, this would be a very long discussion if we go into it, but the past of data comes from Yellow Pages, and you could say it's stodgy, it's been a while. But the way I look at data moving forward, or the future of data, it is almost at the center of everything we're going to do in future, right? So it's data is knowledge, right? Data represents truth. If you think about it, it's a computational representation of reality, right? Why is data so important? The future belongs to automation, right? So, I mean, if you look at the cars, right, it started from stick shift to automation to self-driving to it's headed into a fully automated, right? So businesses are going to get into more and more of automation, and more decision-making will happen through data, right? So when you say inaccurate data sucks, what we are really saying is that it provides an incomplete picture of reality or the truth, right? Computers need to build an accurate representation of reality in order to help with decision-making, right? And data is going to play a really important role. You know, the way I look at it, we are like maybe inning three of a 10-inning, 12-inning game in terms of data, right? So the future of data is really bright.
I'm glad you believe so. You know, certainly I wake up a couple times a month and stare in the mirror saying, what am I doing with myself? And I'm just going to play back this podcast to remind myself that I am in the right place. I am not here accidentally. And actually, that's a good segue. Let's take a quick break. When we get back from the break, I want to talk not about the past and how you got here, but I want to talk about the future and what you're doing today and why you think it is the right place at the right time. Let's take a quick short break to pay some bills, and we'll be back in a minute or two.
And we just want to remind you that how well do you know your total addressable market? What are the most profitable micro segments of your audience? Who are all the decision makers at your ideal accounts? Lead Genius can tell you. Lead Genius helps business-to-business enterprise companies such as yours, or even big companies like Google, eBay, and Square, power their go-to-market strategies. Lead Genius has the highest quality contact and account data available anywhere. How? Well, Lead Genius verifies every single data point with a unique combination of real human researchers and machine learning. Quality is assured and accuracy is 100%. Really, guaranteed. See for yourself why enterprise marketing and sales leaders trust Lead Genius. Just visit leadgenius.com to learn more about your total addressable market today. That's Lead Genius, just like it sounds, leadgenius.com. All right, let's pick it back up with the second half of our interview.
Okay, welcome back to the second half of the Data Dump podcast with Santosh Sharan, a good friend and one of the most respected, knowledgeable guys in the B2B data space. We spent time before the break talking about how Santosh got to where he is today, and let's talk about what he is doing today. Santosh, it was just announced within the last month that you have joined EverString. Tell us about why you joined that company and what they do.
Sure. So after Aberdeen, I took a one-year sabbatical, and I spent some time overseas. And then I was thinking of what to do next, and I ran into EverString. So this is an incredibly good opportunity, I think, not just for me, but for the entire space. So it's an open truth that the predictive space where EverString started off hasn't really stood up to the initial hype, right? So that's let's put that aside. But in the process, a lot of these companies, including EverString, has built a series of technology that that at least I haven't seen in some of the other data companies I work for. Now, they never operationalize a lot of these technologies in the product, so you don't see that in the market. The opportunity that I see with EverString is to build a modern data company from scratch, right? So I'll just quickly define what I see as the modern data company, right? So the value is shifting in the data space very rapidly, right? And what buyers want is not just a reflection of the past, which is what most data companies provide, right? Which anytime you provide a list, it's just a snapshot in time, right? As soon as you create it, it starts dying. We are working on, or we are already delivering files that show not just the past, present, but also indication into the future with lots of scores and models, and we dump it and put it into a data file. A modern data company provides continuous data delivery, right? So that's something we are working on at EverString. And then we are generating real-time insights, which is really important for a modern data company, right? To shift from, value is really not in data, it's in the information you extract from data. And that information extraction is very difficult. Think about it a little bit like, in the programming metaphor, programming world, software world started with assembly language, right? But then we quickly moved into building libraries on top of it to make the programming easier, right? So EverString, we are building those libraries of data and providing them as columns and rows. So that's excites me a lot. And then the last one, which a modern data company needs to worry about, is every data file needs to be personalized, scored and ranked and prioritized, right? If you're giving me 10,000 rows of record or 100,000, I need to know where to start. Some of these elements, when I was evaluating EverString, I saw they had all the right marbles in place. They just hopefully I can help arrange them and disrupt the space with some tools and technologies that the industry hasn't seen yet.
Super insightful. And a lot of the themes you mentioned, I think you wrote about in great depth in a recent LinkedIn article about traditional versus modern B2B data vendors, which was phenomenal. I commented on it. I forwarded it to a bunch of people. I got a bunch of folks coming back at me saying, wow, that was pretty insightful. Are there other aspects of a modern B2B data vendor besides what I would call just-in-time, besides forward-looking, besides insights that you think are important to point out?
Sure. So let me sort of shift the discussion a little bit to how I see the future will pan out.
Sure.
The data companies have a really huge opportunity ahead of them because some of these data companies will drive businesses, right? So they will take key decisions for B2B businesses, right? So, and they become almost like an insight provider or actionable, real-time decision sort of provider. They get to sit in the high table, right, and support some critical decision-making. And for that, I think a modern data company has to not just define these three or four things. In addition, I guess they need to really have the ability to solve business problems. You know, the focus has to shift. Data is just a tool, right? Eventually, we are using it to solve business problems. So the focus of these modern companies has to shift from just handing over the data and washing their hands and say, it's your problem, how to use this data, to let me sit with you, you know, and let's look at your marketing or sales or other business problems, and let's find a solution using our data and technology and tools. And that's a big shift that most data vendors are not prepared to make, right? Or organizationally, sometimes they don't have a strong arm that can help solve some of those problems. I think that is a big for me. And then there are a lot of smaller sort of themes around it.
I'm just curious, a little sidelight here as we wrap up. You know, you said you took a sabbatical and were overseas. Did you interact with any of the investment community out there or the tech community, or been that so much of today's business is global,
right,
and you just joined a venture-backed company here in the States. Did you see any differences having immersed yourself in another part of the world for the past year that we might not see here in our bubble of the States?
So even though my base was in India, last 12 months, I've traveled to 18 new countries, right? That was a whole lot.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have been to all kinds of places, from Burma to Philippines to a lot of South Asian countries to Europe. And so I do have a perspective. So let's talk about India, since that's where I spent most of my time last 12 months, right? So India is an ancient civilization, but very young country. What I mean by that, the population-wise, there are a lot more younger people there than anywhere else in the world right now. So a lot of energy, a lot of risk, a lot of possibilities. Bangalore, in particular, is buzzing with entrepreneurial activities. A lot of startups, I think a little too many. A lot of investment activities. But what I found is they're all solving, I would say, local problems. The industry hasn't reached a stage where they start solving global problem. I think they lack some global exposure, like you see in Silicon Valley, where you're solving large-scale problems. And part of it could also be, they say it takes a whole village to create a startup, right? So it's the whole ecosystem that's not prepared. But on the positive side, what I saw, the similarities with Silicon Valley is very hardworking. So whatever they lack in global exposure, they're making up with hard work, tenacity. And it's not just India. I went to South Asia and some other countries. It's actually fascinating how, you know, the world has become flat. And with mobile phone and information transparency, things that would take years to get to the other side of the world, now within minutes, they're using the same brands, same technologies. So, you know, it poses new opportunities, challenges, but the new, you know, ways to collaborate. You would see a lot of these emerging markets, they are coming fast at, they're not there yet, but they're definitely headed in the right direction with regard to building new technology.
Well, that I love that insight, and certainly that bodes well for the business I run at Lead Genius, given some of our thesis. It just seems to be a darn exciting time to be alive. So, Santosh, I wish we had more time before we could talk about, but unfortunately, we're going to wrap it up. I'm sure a number of people listening to this who don't know you are now thrilled that they do. If they wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way for them to do so or to learn more about EverString?
Sure. So my email is my first name at everstring.com, Santosh, S-A-N-T-O-S-H at everstring.com. I look forward to hearing from anybody. I love talking, as you can imagine. I'm happy to share. Love a good discussion.
All right, Santosh. Thank you so much for the kindness of your time, and the insights were phenomenal.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Paul, I'm going to send it back to you.
You've been listening to another episode, SLMA Radio. Right here on the Funnel Radio channel for at-work listeners like you.